You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
That's right. Yes, it's Saturday night, and you know what that means. It means you just watched a night of fights. And it wrapped up relatively early. It's 11:25 on the East Coast, and Marina Rodriguez just beat Michelle Waterson in a highly entertaining 25-minute matchup. Big win for Marina Rodriguez. There was no post-fight interview for her because that jaw is a little banged up. It is. So congratulations to her. Congratulations to Alex Morano. Great stoppage win over Donald Cerrone. And Neil on Neil has happened. Advantage Magny. We welcome you to UFC Vegas 26 post-fight show. I am Mike Hack, back here in beautiful Berkshire County, Massachusetts, after covering Bellator 258, being joined by Jose Youngs.
Nello and Sarah.
There he is. And on the ones and twos, there he is, EKC. What's up, buddy?
That's a pretty good point. I've been working on that, you know, and hey, what's up?
You nailed that one.
Hey, kids. You like rock and or roll? Yeah, I don't know.
You started off so strong that the first point was great. And then
I just lost control.
Kind of fell off a little bit. Well, the 9-fight card is over. Marina Rodriguez got it done. She looked really good tonight. Those hands are so fast. And when she lands, it affects you. But Michelle Waterson, to quote the good old J.R. Jim Ross, Michelle Waterson is tougher than a $2 steak. I mean, she took some big shots. She was smiling after every round. She had a great fourth round, landed a takedown, did some damage. That kick she landed in the fifth round jacked up Rodriguez's jaw. It was a fun fight, Jose. What did you think of Rodriguez's performance, Waterson's performance, and just the main event overall?
I think it answered a lot of questions for both women. Marina Rodriguez, I believe this is her first time going full five rounds, if I'm not mistaken, and it kind of showed. I know obviously she like shattered her jaw at some point or broke her jaw, but it felt like at points like she maybe her cardio wasn't there. I don't know how much the broken jaw played into that or the fact that Michelle Waterson was really beating up her midsection. And Michelle Waterson at points, especially in the fourth and fifth round, showed moments in there where if she had shown them in maybe the first couple rounds of the fight might have gone a different way. But Marina Rodriguez went five grueling tough rounds and pulled out the victory, and Michelle Waterson proved that she can go five rounds no problem against an elite high level striker and not be totally blown out of the waters in that. I mean, she even had moments where she did that like signature Jackson Wink kick to the knee. Marina wasn't quite ready for that, and then she kind of adjusted. But both women looked great. It was a high level martial arts competition, and I think it exceeded a lot of the expectations, especially since of course we lost the Dillashaw and Sandhagen main event, which everyone was very excited for. But I think this delivered. I don't think it satiated the bloodlust of a lot of fans. Maybe the co-main event did that, but nonetheless, high-level martial arts competition, and I think both women will move forward from this with a lot of new fans after that performance.
Yeah, Casey, Rodriguez was interesting because I actually picked Waterson to win this fight, and one of the big reasons was not just the main event experience that Waterson has, but the fact that Rodriguez wasn't cleared to fight until, like, the beginning of the week. So, like, she basically flew to Vegas and had, like, 2 days to make weight and fight. And considering that was the case, her cardio, yeah, she got a little tired. She looked pretty good in there. Like even fourth and fifth round, she looked really good. She didn't look that tired. I was really impressed with her performance. What say you?
Well, for Marina, I thought it was a great performance. I thought it was a decent performance from Michelle. I picked Rodriguez to win the fight kind of went as I thought it was going to go. I mean, I picked Marina to win a dominant decision. And I felt we got that. I thought the small cage would be a disadvantage for Michelle. And as long as Marina could make the 125 weight limit healthy, which I think she did, she would have a serious size advantage and reach advantage. And it showed in the fight, especially in the stand-up exchanges. Marina Rodriguez is a A-level strawweight. And and coming into this fight. Yeah, I thought that kind of thought was, this is what I thought would happen. And and Marina's just a little bit closer to that title. And Michelle doesn't take anything. It's not a big loss for Michelle. I mean, it sucks to lose, but I think we know who Michelle Waterson is at this point of her career. And kind of came. Yeah, it was a good fight. It was a good fight. I mean, I liked it.
Yeah, it was a good scrap. I thought Waterson might try to wrestle a lot more in that fight.
Yeah, I did agree. I think with the commentators, they were kind of mentioning it toward the beginning. It felt like kind of a sparring match, and they were kind of building it up toward the end, which I agreed with. It kind of felt like a Muay Thai fight in Thailand. You know, you kind of spar the first couple rounds to kind of level and place your bets, and then the last rounds you start building it up and everything. And that's what I kind of felt it went like. And I felt, especially for Marina, she was very cautious in her output in the first couple rounds, because I think that's every fighter's nightmare, is to gas out in the final round. So that didn't happen. And Marina, you know, controlled her cardio correctly and even took that big shot to the face, which looks like it messed up her jaw, but it just looks like it made her angry. So great victory and a gritty performance from Michelle Waterson.
Where does she go from here, Jose? Marina Rodriguez. I mean, she's number six. She's behind Dern, Esparza, Zhao Nan, Yan Jacek, Zhang Weili, and the champion right now. Nina Nunes is a spot behind her. And then there's Gedalia and so forth and so on. She's kind of stuck, unfortunately, unless you want to throw her in there with Dern. Are you ready to do that right now?
Selfishly, I would like the Ioana fight. I just think that would be a really high level matchup between two very skilled Muay Thai practitioners. The Dern fight would be a lot of fun, and I think it would make sense matchmaking wise. Just, you know, 5-6. I mean, that's what the rankings are for, right? It's like that. It's like, obviously they can determine how much money someone gets or whatever like that, and sponsorships outside. But if you want to put 5 and 6, that's an easy sell. Nina Nunes, I don't think makes sense. Cloudy doesn't make sense. They're coming off losses. You just beat Michelle. She already beat Tisha Torres. I think it really depends on what Zhang Weili does, if they want to book the rematch with Rose, or especially if the winner of Yan Xiaonan and Carlos Sparza gets the next title shot. Because if Zhang Weili wants to come back after that very long layoff and just, you know, get right back in there and try to erase the taste of getting knocked out by Rose, that would be an awesome fight. Dern, Ioana, Zhang, or Weili, or the loser of Yan, Zhao Nan, and Carla. Again, the top five at strawweight absolutely rules. It's very obvious that this is the most stacked division in women's MMA. So I just think a few fights have to play out first before we can really decide what's next for Marina Rodriguez. Plus, she just like broke her jaw, so it's not like she can get a quick turnaround if she wants to get back in there. So let her recover and let the division shake out.
No, she's got to fight next week. It's UFC. Let's go. Get back in there.
My fault.
Yeah, be like Sabu and just wrap tape around your jaw like you did in ECW.
Yeah, she's a savage.
What do you do, Casey? You like that? She's a savage. She's a savage, right? A savage. All those options are great, Casey. Like, if you were the matchmaker right now, how would you book? Let's just say, you know, she's got to heal up and take some time, get the jaw all healed up. But, you know, all things considered, what makes sense for you? Is it Dern? Is it Ioana? Is it Zhang Weili? Maybe the loser of Esparza, Zhao Nan? I know she fought Carla already, but it was a close, kind of controversial decision that went to Carla, and a lot of people thought Marina won that fight. So there's a story in the rematch if that happened too.
You know, I think Marina is the type of action fighter that she's not going to fight for the title next, or she still needs one big win to get that title shot. So honestly, JJ, they're all good fights. I don't think there's any one particular fight that Rodriguez needs to fight. And maybe that's the problem right now for her, that we're not urgently no craving for Rodriguez versus someone in particular. We just know she's extremely A-level strawweight, and she needs to fight a top five strawweight. And come back down to strawweight. You know, this was a 125 fight, and also the fact that this was a catch weight, that's a little helpful for Waterson too, because I think, you know, we know that she was going to be severely undersized at flyweight, especially when she's already a relatively small strawweight. So, but for Rodriguez, yeah, anyone really. I like Dern. I love Styles Clash. And I love grappler versus striker matches. So Dern's my personal pick. But in terms of just pure action, I love JJ. Actually, when she was fighting, I was like thinking a lot. I was like, man, they have like, they feel like they fight very similar and they have the same physique.
That's what the, I actually listened to the announcers this time. And I think it was Dominic Cruz said, Marina looks like a Joanna near the beginning of her UFC tenor, you know, and then she went to AK and kind of, she didn't change her style of fighting, but her stance changed a little bit because obviously incorporated a lot more wrestling, or she worked a lot on her wrestling more. So she wasn't just a solely Muay Thai stance. Which did definitely play it against Marina for a minute because she was obviously Connor famously said it, but Muay Thai fighters are very heavy on their front foot often, and Michelle just unloaded a few, and then Marina obviously had to change it up. But
yeah, Marina's like awesome lateral fight. Movement definitely needed some work on because 100%. She was walking, and that's kind of the big issue of Muay Thai. You just kind of head forward. So someone like Michelle, those straight kicks, those like kind of side kicks right into the body. Marina was eating those, but luckily Marina's an in shape athlete, so she can take those shots, but she can only take so many. I don't know if they showed the replay, but wasn't there one point it looked like Marina took a good body shot and she kind of crumpled over for a moment, but then
it was like the last round. It was like a push. I can't remember. It was like a body kick or something like that. If I remember correctly,
she took something to the body and looked like she hurt, but either Michelle didn't recognize it or Michelle was so she might have. I felt Michelle kind of gassed herself out in the fourth round because I think after the dominant fourth round. Dominant in the sense of ground control, not really dominant in terms of damage. But I think we all thought, okay, Michelle in the first 30 seconds is going to have to go in for a takedown and take Marina down and try to wear out and submit her or finish her on the ground. But Michelle, as far as I remember, never seriously went for a takedown in that fifth round, and which I'm kind of interested to know why she didn't. But maybe I'm kind of curious. I mean, I don't want to bring up the whole open scoring thing, but I'm kind of curious where Michelle thought she was on the scorecards. Maybe she thought, I just have to win this fifth round because the judges or at least the commentator said that they felt Michelle was down three rounds coming into the fourth round. Yeah. So I don't know if Michelle, for the fifth round, she would need a 10-8 for a draw or a finish to win. And
I think that's what I tweeted, like Michelle needs a stoppage or a 10-8 in round five. Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious what Michelle thought. I don't know if in her mind or what her corners were telling her, if that you got to get the finish in this round. So that's why I was kind of surprised. But with Michelle in the fifth round, maybe it was just a cardio issue. Maybe she I don't have Maria Rodriguez throwing angry fists at me, so I'm not just shooting in for takedowns. Like, but I was just it was a good performance. just kind of reliving the fight in my head right now.
Yeah, we have bonuses, by the way.
Ooh, okay, bonuses.
Let me guess. Let's guess.
Okay.
I would say Morono and Gillespie.
By the night or?
No, performance.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, Morono, Gillespie, performance.
Well, okay, Morono got a performance.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Gillespie.
I would not think Gillespie for Hedda could be fight of the night.
It is, that was an awesome fight.
You got the full 100K.
And since Fahed him, you get the full 100K.
Yeah,
wow.
Good on him.
That fight ruled.
The other performance bonus.
Hold on. Who am I saying? Harris.
Correct. Whoa. Carlson Harris.
That was a sick joke. That was a sick joke. Yeah, that was a very good joke.
He's the real deal, man. Carlson Harris is fun. Good scrapper, finisher. That was like a perfect matchup for him against Christian Aguilera.
Yeah, I don't know very much about Harris though.
Dude, I missed that one. My internet went down and I missed the first fight of the night. So that's the fight I said that we shouldn't miss was the fight that I missed. And I just heard, I saw our colleague Steve Morocco on our Slack channel like freaking out about in a good way, like, oh, that submission was awesome or something. I was like, damn it,
my favorite choke.
I was really bummed out because I like sold that fight hard in the preview show and I was the one that missed it.
It was a great breakdown by DC explaining that position, because from what I remember, Harris could have what he said take the butt or something, like when he was in the front and he couldn't have gone around and taken the back control, but he decided to go for the choke instead. And it looked like Aguilera wasn't ready for that. And he just kind of went right into it. And congratulations, Carlson Harris.
So the hell of a debut. Hmm?
Yeah,
three.
Just the three bonus?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, fight of the night and two performances, but Gillespie gets both fight of the night bonuses. That fight was awesome. Like, didn't Gregor Gillespie just, like, make you want to go for a run? Like a 20-mile run after that performance?
No, I mean, Jesus Christ. I know I'll never be able to have his cardio, so why even try? That's what my mindset was.
I wanted to run 20 miles and then go fishing once I got to where I was going to land after the 20-mile run. Like, I wanted to have a fishing rod 20 miles away, run to it, and then just cast that line out and hope for the best. That's what Gillespie did for me tonight. What did you think, Casey? How invigorated were you after watching Gregor Gillespie come back and have a finish like that, man? That was sick.
After that first round, I was like, dude, Gregor Gillespie is about to get effed up at the beginning of the second round. I was like, he is done. And like, I don't know. Some fighters just fight so well tired. They're better fighters when they're tired almost. And he seems to be one of those guys. Like, once they're at 50% or, you know, their gas tank is like 30%, they are just a better fighter than any other fighter who's also kind of around that 30% mark. And Diego is obviously, you know, he had a bad weight cut and everything. Even though he was heavier, that's not that much of an advantage because it came at a cost and it came at a pretty crap weight cut. So, so all of Diego just, you know, he had no energy. And the fact that when a fighter can make someone just, I mean, I know he technically got TKO, but like DC was saying, you broke Diego Ferrer. Diego Ferrer just like, I'm done. Just punch me. You know, I'm done. And honestly, that's kind of a humiliating loss for Ferrer. It sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just at this level to make someone quit. That's super impressive from Gregor Gillespie. I don't know where Gregor Gillespie is in the whole, is he going to win the title or is he going to fight for a title anytime soon? But he's back. That's all. He's back. You know, the old Gregor Gillespie that we kind of saw before Kevin Lee fight. Now, with that Gregor Gillespie, would he have beaten, Brad Riddell? Who was he fighting? Who was he supposed to be fighting?
Brad Riddell, yeah.
Yeah, Brad Riddell. I don't know.
I was very confident in Gregor Gillespie winning that fight. Very confident. I was not very confident in him beating CDF tonight, but that was super impressive. Like to answer the bounce back question, like, is this guy the real deal? Is this guy who we thought he was? This was the fight to prove it more than Brad Riddell was, in my opinion, just because, you know, CDF like is a high level black belt, great fighter. Like, he only loses to like the best of the best guys, like super legit. And Gillespie getting in there and scrambling and having success on the ground with CDF showed a lot, man. Like, I know Gillespie's wrestling credentials are through the roof, but to be able to go there on the ground and play around down there and not only survive, but stop him on the ground with strikes, that was unbelievable. That's a huge win for him.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor talked about him on Twitter.
That was weird.
That's even better.
Very yes. Weird.
Good for Gregor. I mean, that's a good.
It was very weird.
It was weird. Come on,
hashtag Gregor McGregor.
Gregor on McGregor. That's hilarious.
Gregor on McGregor. There you go.
Oh my God.
AK. AK, get it going.
AK just sitting around typing. He's like, he's looking around.
Someone's calling him on his landline right now and telling him what we're saying right now. So there you go. There's your bonuses. Alex Morano, great win over Donald Cerrone. That's a good name on the resume. I mean, that's a guy that's fallen into some big fights, huh?
Yeah.
Pettis and then Cerrone, two short notice fights back to back. It's pretty damn good. That was a good finish. Good stuff right there. Donald Cerrone talked to ESPN not long ago and said that he's not done yet. He's not done. At least in his mind, he has to go back and look at the fight and talk to his team and stuff. But he feels like if he's to that point when he's done, it's going to be like, hey, this is my final fight. Like, this is it. So I don't know. I felt like this is kind of, I thought Cerrone's going to win this fight tonight. I was pretty confident he would win. This is no disrespect to Alex Moreau, because Alex Moreau is a tough dude who will throw hams at you. But it was just a matter of if Cerrone can get out of the first round, he'll win. But he didn't, because Morano just attacked him, and that was a perfect game plan by by Murano and Saif Saud, of course, and the Fortis MMA guys. What did you think of Murano's performance tonight, Casey?
I was kind of the opposite of you. I was actually very confident Alex, Alex Murano was going to win the fight. I don't like saying the term, you know, washed, you know, but to me, Cowboy just, whatever memory of Cowboy we have, just like our memories of Diego Sanchez, you know, in these crazy fights, I just don't, those fighters aren't there anymore. And yeah, and not that I think Alex Murano is, you know, a world beater or even a top 10 welterweight. I just think Cowboy is not very good right now as far as like A-level welterweights. And yeah, it just to me, it was one of those fights where Cowboy just looked really bad. Don't really have too much to say.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
I mean, Brandon Murano did exactly what he was supposed to do, and he kind of he fought like has advertised as basically that nothing looked out of. We've seen that Brandon Murano before, you know. But
Alex Murano.
You're fixated with that interview from Wednesday.
Yeah, I know. I love Brandon Moreno. Alex.
Who doesn't?
I know. I love Alex. I love both of them. Morono. I mean, this is exact. Nothing surprised me of his performance. I knew exactly that's the guy he is. He can take a big shot. He's going to come out fast, you know, and that's a bad recipe for Cowboy. And Cowboy just looked, I mean, I know he got hit. It's just, but it's like, it reminded me of the Conor fight. He just took one hit. It's like, oh, this sucks. I don't like getting hit. And unfortunately, like when we saw Michelle Waterson start getting beat up, you know, the commentators were going, dude, Michelle's a fighter. You can tell how tough she is. You can tell how tough she is. We don't say that about Cowboy. We just go, man, it's Cowboy, you know? But it's not the same. It's just not the same guy. I mean, he'll get one more fight. And like, I think we talked about this in our Q&A before. Is this, if Cowboy takes a bad loss, which he did, would this be his final fight? And none of us thought that was gonna be his final fight, because we felt, you know, he needs to leave with fans, and he needs to leave against a proper opponent. Who that proper opponent is, I'm not sure. We can throw some names out later, but Alex Murano in a empty UFC Apex isn't the way for Cowboy to retire. Win or lose, that's all.
Your thoughts, Jose?
Yeah, I actually picked Cowboy to win. I thought if Murano was going to pull it off, I did not picture that. And I was talking to Casey before he went live. Alex Murano has never landed a more picture-perfect punch in his life. Like, that was a baseball bat to the jaw. That was like a lunchbox filled with rocks that just got slapped, like, clanged across his head, and Cowboy just got caught cold. Like, it's the punches that you don't see are the ones that affect you the most. We've heard that 1,000 times. That's exactly what we saw. Does that happen every time? Probably not. Does Alex Cerrone win the majority of the time? Maybe, but I doubt he lands that punch every single time against Donald Cerrone. But he landed it this time. He won fair and square. I'm not quite ready to call Donald Cerrone washed just yet, because like I said, he got hit with the absolute perfect punch. It would be a lot different if he just got decimated for 15 minutes. And then I would say, yeah, it's probably time to hang it up. But if someone is going to tell that to Cowboy, it's the fact that he got stopped again. It's not that his skills aren't there. He just physically, I don't know how much his brain can handle it anymore. Because as much as we talk about Diego Sanchez, Donald Cerrone has a ton of mileage. Some of the more mileage than almost anyone in UFC history. I can't think of many people that have more right now on the roster. So that was real rough to see. And doing Twitter reacts for that fight was not fun, because pretty much every single fighter was just tweeting sad face emojis or, you know, Donald, you're still a hero to me and this and that. So yeah, bummer for Cowboy fans, but man, Alex Murano, I am very excited to see what he lines up with next, because this was all like great win, short notice fight too. So that makes it even more impressive. He probably got a real nice paycheck for that one.
Yeah, and Alex, one of the really nice guys in the sport too. Yeah. So you got to be happy for him on that end. Unfortunately, on the other side for Fortis MMA teammate Jeff Neal, could not get it done against Dale Magny. So now one of the bright prospects at 170 has lost 2 in a row. And I mean, listen, you lose to Wonderboy and Neal Magny, there's no shame in that. Those are two of the very best. Can we just go ahead? Like, I know AK and I are going to talk and do the matchmaking thing, but can we just go ahead and book Neil Magny and Hamzat Chimaev? Can we just make that happen now? Because that is the only fight that makes sense. I don't want to hear Chimaev against anybody else. That is the fight to make.
The only other fight that I think would be fun would be Kevin Holland, just because there's beef there. But if Kevin Holland's not going to welterweight, then I'm all for Neil Magny versus Hamzat Chimaev. Like, I am about it. Like, that's just like Hamzat called him out, most importantly. So if one fight, like, and Neil Magny doesn't say no to anyone, as far as I'm aware of. So yeah, if Hamzat wants it and the UFC wants it, fight fans just want to see Hamzat fight, bring it on down.
I agree.
Magny's been calling him out for like 9 months now. Like, ever since like Chimaev got his like second or third win, he was like, I want this guy, fight me. And Dana White's like, you know, no one wants to fight this guy. Meanwhile, Neil Magny's been on Twitter being like, dude, come on. I want to fight him. Is that the fight, Casey?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a perfect fight. I don't think the UFC wants that fight because, he might lose. Hamzat might lose. And I think Neil Magny is, and I mean this in the highest regard, he is a high-level gatekeeper. You have to beat Neil Magny if you want to be considered an elite welterweight, not just a really good welterweight. You got to beat Neil Magny. And, if you can't beat Neil Magny, you're just a really good welterweight. And if we believe Chimaev is the shit, he needs to beat Neil Magny. And I think style-wise, it's a great fight, too.
And I think it kind of, like, gives you a glimpse into how good Michael Chiesa is, too. Because he didn't just beat Neil Magny, he dominated Neil Magny. That just looks even better now.
Yeah, exactly. I think Chiesa is a elite. He's the guy. I think didn't Kamaru Usman just say, or his manager just say that?
Manager.
Yeah, well, you know, so the fact that Chiesa is in that conversation for the title, you know, already, and we're not, you know, we don't really talk about Magny in the sense of title shots, but we consider Magny a very good fighter. And Chimaev beating Magny will... No, the hype is real then, if you can beat him.
Marcos Rogério de Lima gets a win. And to quote AK, that was a fight. That was a fight. Maurice Greene loses another one. I like Maurice Greene. And again, another good guy. Got himself in really good shape. But I'd be shocked if we see him in the octagon again, unless he runs off some wins on the regional scene. We mentioned Greg Gillespie, Phil Haas, another decision win, two decision wins in a row. Remember that? Remember everyone kept saying, oh, just get Phil Haas out of the first round and you can beat him. Nope. Two decision wins in a row. He looked good against Kyle Daukaus. This guy who can get better as the rounds go and isn't gassing out. This guy's a problem, Casey Eladen. He's a problem right now.
I told you, man. Even though Phil Haas didn't get there's no highlights from this, no big knockouts, no 10-second knockouts, no whatever. This was a great experience for Phil Haas. This is the fight I needed to watch. I needed to see, go, okay, I've been really hyping up Phil Haas for a while, but like that fight, even though there were no highlights from him, he didn't win any performance bonuses, but he needed the fight. A fight that he actually got stronger in. He fought better as the fight went on, which is never. That's just something he's not known for. The fact that he can change who he is as a fighter, you know, at this point in his career, that's he's very dangerous for the middleweights right now. Do I think he's gonna? Is he a threat to Izzy? No. Or I don't think Phil's a top five guy, or can come close to being a top five guy yet. But he is improving dramatically, and a super impressive win for him. Super impressive win in terms of improvement for Phil Haas.
That was only his 13th professional fight, but there are very few guys like at this level in MMA that have paid their dues early on more than Phil Haas has. I mean, just go back and like look at his early fights. I mean, throwing him in there with guys like, you know, Julian Marquez early, Lewis Taylor early, you know, just some of these names, just throwing them to the wolves at like 2-0, 3-0, 3-1.
Got
like
Anthony Sanchez, we're on the contender.
Andrew Sanchez, the other one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just crazy. And then he took a couple of years off, and you know, look at him now. He's in a great place. Got on the contender series, got the win. Now he's 3-0 in the UFC. Guy's going places right now. Good I stuff.
Like, did they talk about his hair? His hair is very confusing. Maybe we'll bring that up later.
Yeah.
That was very, Derek Lewis
had the tweet of the night.
Derek Lewis, yeah. He wins a performance bonus for his Twitter. Yeah.
Mike Trezano, first fight in a while. Good win for him.
Ooh, who did we actually pick Trezano in that one?
I did not, but it was close, but I did not. Someone had a 30-27. That was very suspect.
Yes, that was definitely suspect. Yeah, speaking of scores, the Jun Young Park fight, what is going on here? It's a 30-25, a 28-28, and a 29-27. Is that what it was?
What?
How is that possible?
The right guy won. That's what matters. Park was the better fighter, but those are crazy scores.
What a bass-ackwards way to get there, man. 28-28, 29-27, 30-25. Like, six different numbers.
But I will say this, though. I'm looking at MMA decisions right now, and all the scores are kind of all over the place, too. Four journalists had 30-25s, which is what one ref had. Two journalists the scores are kind of all over the place, too. They're 29-27s. There were no 28-28s, though. That was for sure.
Yeah, so
I take that back. The scoring wasn't as crazy. The media scoring wasn't as crazy as the judges' scores. But the right guy won. That's why there's three judges. So we'll kind of, funny judges. But,
yeah. Eric Nixick was not happy about that. And then Carlson Harris kicked off the festivities with an anaconda choke. So this event, I'm sure the UFC is breathing a sigh of relief that it is come and gone. This thing was, I'm not going to say cursed, but it was close to being cursed with all the hiccups along the way, but they made it happen. They got it done. And, this is the second best MMA event of the weekend because Bellator's car is better than this one. I hate to say it. It just was.
No. I hate to say it. I mean, what do you mean? Hate? What
is I said that not the way I intended but
I know what you mean.
Yeah, but most people are watching are UFC fans, but the Bellator card is better than this one.
Well, certainly. Bellator just had a great card on paper, and it delivered. And the UFC card.
This is what we always say Bellator needs to do, and they don't do it enough. Like, the fact that Bellator puts on a big event and it delivers should not be a story. They could do it all of the time. They just for a while were giving these really high level top two fights, and then unfortunately fans didn't tune in because they didn't care about the rest of the card. And it's unfortunate because you miss out on some absolutely fantastic scraps, and a lot of these fighters now you could have seen on the rise rather than until they get to, like, Jason Jackson. I don't know a lot of people that watched his fight against Benson Henderson, and that fight was like his that put him on the map. And then who did he just beat? Neiman Gracie?
Yeah,
right. Great, after that, so great, like, Canelo just rocks Billy Joe like right there. Oh my god, I'm watching it right here. But it's like Bellator can do that, and it frustrates me when we like I think it's fantastic whenever any card is fantastic in any promotion, but it frustrates me when we see that, and I'm like, why don't you do this more often? Like Patchy Mix, Henry Corrales, Lorenz Larkin on the prelims. And like other time, that's like a co-main event. I'm like, they can do this all the time and they don't. And it's just frustrating because we all know how good Bellator can be.
Yes, we definitely saw that last night. It was a really fun card. Seeing Henry Corrales lose was just wild, man. Getting subbed by Johnny Campbell. I was like, wow, that's the thing.
I like, awesome. Now, if people tune into that, and then they see the guy that beat Henry Corrales, like, oh, I remember this guy, but like, hopefully people did that. I don't know if fans are cued in to tune in for early Bellator prelims like they are for UFC, unfortunately, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, they're not used to having to tune in to Bellator.
I agree prelims. Because Bellator was kind of notorious for years to have basically the early prelims, especially, were just local fighters. Just to kind of fill seats up and stuff, which is just their business model, which is just a different business model than the UFC. So like a lot of these were just one fight contract guys. I wouldn't even consider them Bellator fighters. They were just literally in a Bellator cage.
Yeah.
So but
hopefully, maybe that changes with the Showtime, or what someone was saying on Twitter is that, like, because not every fight's going to be on Showtime, right? Some of them are going to be on CBS.
CBS.
What did I say?
No, you said CBS. What? CBS Sport. Not CBS. I mean, CBS Network, like the big.
I don't know. I don't know what their net broadcast is moving forward, but like some people are going to be like, oh, if they're on Showtime, that'll be. Remember those old Dynamite shows they would do where it was like you have to tune in from the beginning? Those are like the tent pole events. Maybe yeah. That's what Bellator does yeah. moving forward. So I don't know. I have no idea.
First time I think Showtime is the exclusive.
Cool.
Broadcaster, awesome. Unless they have a CBS show, because yeah. CBS owns, yeah. Which will be even bigger because obviously network.
Absolutely,
dude. Being in there last night, that looks so cool in person. Like the little setup with the curtains, it looks phenomenal. It looks better than the Apex.
Whoa, dude, whoa! Oh, did Canelo just win?
Oh, Canelo just won. He threw in the towel. Billy Joe threw in the towel.
What round?
Canelo was cooking him that round, and then I just look over and it's like they waved it off. My God. I just want to say UFC puts on a great show, but there are 73,126 fans at this fight. That is the third biggest attended boxing match ever, and the most in US history. The only other two were like Joshua fights in like Wales and those massive arenas. Oh, massive stadiums, but Canelo just stopped Billy Joe. Billy Joe threw in the towel in front of 73,000 people in Dallas. That is unreal. My God. Canelo is the pound for pound best boxer on planet Earth.
I don't know. None. I'm looking in the comments and someone says boxing is dead. So, I mean, you can say that, but the counter argument though, boxing is dead. So, I don't know.
Unreal. He is, oh my God, he was so good.
That sounds great.
Ate him alive with body. Like if you are a fan of just like take a wet pillow and just hitting someone's midsection, that's pretty much what Canelo did the entire fight. And Billy Joe's eye is like swollen shut. Jesus. Good luck stopping that guy.
I got to watch.
Yes, let us know in the comment section if you're a fan of of wetting down things and hitting people in the midsection.
I am a huge mark for Canelo, which is why I will never be able to cover boxing because I'm just like,
you'll be boxing media. What are you talking about? You're boxing.
That is a good point. That is a very good point. That is a very, very good point. Like it is very hard for me to ever root against Canelo Alvarez, but good Lord, like terrible counter program for the UFC because my Twitter like erupted like during the main event because the walkouts are happening. 73,000 people watching a boxing match. Unreal.
Wow. Have you ever got a chance to see Canelo like been an open workout or anything? I shot the open workout in San Diego when he fought. I forgot his name actually, but it was on Showtime. And just, dude, watch it, the 45 piece combos he was hitting. I was like, that is amazing. I was just like, Canelo, it was just so cool.
Canelo now, I obviously, if this Canelo fought that Floyd that they fought back in like 2014, whatever it was, yeah. I think this Canelo wins. But it's obviously that's just like weird fantasy matchmaking. Yeah.
What weight was this at? But Canelo's bigger now, right? He's not.
It's super middleweight, I think. Something like that. It's one of those weird ones.
150 something?
No, I think it's even higher than that.
Oh, okay. Out. Yeah. I mean, Floyd. I think people forget how small Floyd is. Floyd's like, you know, he's like a 140.
Connor's bigger than him.
Oh, Connor's way bigger than him. When he fights Logan Paul. Logan Paul is going to have like 30, 40 pounds on him.
Logan Paul can't weigh more than 190. That's in the rules. It was this fall at 160. Canelo weighed 167. Billy Joe weighed 167.
Okay.
So now he is the unified super middleweight champion of the world. He just won Billy Joe's WBC super middleweight champion. And now that I don't know why they stopped that, honestly. Maybe his corner didn't think he could handle it, but he looked in the fight. His eye was just swelling shut. So maybe they just wanted to protect him.
Call it live to fight another day.
Yeah.
That's just a bummer because you live to fight another day, but this was for literally all of the marbles. This is what the another day is. This is the other day that you fight for.
There are no more days, heck.
The calendar's over.
There's no more days.
No more days.
This is December 31st, 1999, bro.
We're done.
Like you should. Yeah, throw that towel in the crowd, man.
Hope everyone had a good life. See you in the afterlife.
Well, congratulations to Canelo Alvarez. Let's see what is next for him. And I don't think it's gonna be Floyd because Floyd's trying to chase down the hat that Jake Paul pulled off his head. Can I just say I was so glad I was covering the Bellator event this week while that was going on because I had no idea what was happening until like the next morning. Like I had heard about it, but I hadn't seen any of the clips until like the next morning, and then I regretted immediately looking at the clips.
Did you? Okay, we got. Did you see the Jake Paul TikTok video he made?
No, what?
It was so. Like it's as much as I want to hate Jake Paul, I was like, okay, dude, that's funny. So the video starts up him like doing a little selfie shot, going like, hey, I'm gonna go over there, I'm gonna steal Floyd's hat, and then it shows him going talking a little bit. He goes, got your hat, you know. And then it plays DMX while everyone's like punching him everything, and then like it shows him like a hard cut of him like in some room backstage, all ripped up and sweaty. He was like, oh, that went perfect or something. Like, he's just all like beat up. Oh, okay. Sorry. That's enough Jake Paul talk. I can't believe, man, can't help it.
I was so happy that I didn't have to like see that till the next day. It was great. Jose, do you have anything from the peeps?
Oh yeah. We got lots from the peeps.
What'd you say, Casey? Were you
at any Mayweather fights? Did you cover them?
I was at the Maymac fight and I was at the Mayweather Pacquiao fight.
Okay,
so I was at his two big ones. Yeah.
So you've seen how crazy, like you think UFC, you think the big UFC pay per views are big.
There's good nothing,
Lord,
nothing compared.
Big boxing nothing is compared. Like home. Yeah, it's like
nothing compared.
It's the hard. Only thing I can think of is like fans how much bigger it is.
The only thing I can think of is like WrestleMania or like Wrestle Kingdom, where it's just like the world of that, like a high level boxing match, like everything in boxing stops. Like everyone is queued in. Like same thing as like those. Like or like the Super Bowl. Like whenever Floyd fought, like when Floyd fought Pacquiao, I just felt like nothing in my life mattered besides that fight.
All right. Well. Oh my God. Who really? I can't. We can take a couple questions.
Yeah, we can take a couple questions.
Send me your questions, peeps. Let me see what we got here. Bring up some questions now.
Questions, thoughts on the card, anything that happened this weekend.
This is from before the fight. No, he won't, Michael Easter. All right. Let's go talk about Cowboy again. No.
Cowboy is as awesome as they come, but boy needs to hang up the gloves. As game as he is, sometimes fighters don't know when to be smart and quit. I don't know if Cowboy like kind of fits into that mold, because I mean he's got nothing to really prove. He's not trying to be a world champion. He just like likes to fight. You know what I mean? Like he just likes it in a weird way. So I don't know if it's like I don't put him in the same category as BJ Penn and some of these other guys that are just getting mauled every single time they get in there. Like Cowboy's losing, but it's not like his. The way he views fighting is different than other guys in his position, if that makes sense. He's just like, I like to fight. So I'm just going to go in there and fight. Like, if I win, great. If I lose, okay, it doesn't matter. I just like to fight. You know, I just feel like his viewpoint on things are very than guys, other people in his position. You know what I mean?
I kind of disagree because I think BJ Penn, the same way, BJ Penn's like, he likes to fight. He's like, I'm born to fight. Unfortunately, he just can't fight at a high level or even a mid-level anymore. I know you say Cowboy isn't there yet, but how many more times does he have to look horrible before we kind of go? I don't know the answer.
BJ, the difference between BJ and Cowboy is that BJ like has to fight. Like he has to. That's him. Cowboy just like likes it. He doesn't have to. He's got other things going on. He's got the ranch. He could just like shoot guns and jump out of airplanes and ride horses. Like he could do all that stuff and be fine and be happy. He just likes it. He doesn't need to fight. Like BJ Penn, like that's who he is. He has to fight.
Cowboy likes to thrill. Cowboy just needs thrills. Yeah. He doesn't necessarily need fights. BJ needs fighting. But Cowboy just needs that thrill and that he can get that thrill other ways. Is that what you're kind of saying? Maybe not.
That's what I'm saying.
I understand that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think UFC gives him one more fight and, 38. Yeah. I mean, now, is Cowboy
once... Dan Hardy?
Ooh.
Cowboy Dan Hardy. That's it. That's the one. That's the fight.
That's also a very much a clash of personalities. Dan Hardy really wanted to fight Matt Hughes for years just based off of...
Matt Hughes being a jerk.
Well, like, not only that, but, like, Matt Hughes stood for a lot of what Dan Hardy opposed, because Dan Hardy is very, like, I don't... Dan Hardy doesn't really like good old boys, if that makes sense. You know, guys that like to hunt and ride horses and live on farms and stuff. And I think that was a big one.
Yeah, so... I guess the big thing, who's Cowboy's last fight going to be against? How do you think the UFC presents his last fight? Is it going to be like a main event for a fight night, or just like maybe a co-main for a pay-per-view? Just kind of like, so maybe not the pressure's on him, or I'm just kind of...
I bet they would do like a co-main, like somewhere near New Mexico with fans. Kind of like what they did with Faber.
Or like in Colorado, somewhere, like a Denver show or something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Faber co-main event at a card in Sacramento. It was a fight again. Who did he fight?
Ricky Smalley.
How do I know?
That was his comeback fight with Ricky Smalley.
Who's this?
The one that hit Faber. the retirement fight before he came back for the
Smalley. Brad Pickett.
Pickett. Co-main event on that Sacramento card. It was Pickett's a tough guy, but it was a fight that most people thought Faber would win. That's what I would kind of like to see for Cowboy, but I don't know. It's tough. People kind of view this more in the pro wrestling realm, where it's like you got to put somebody else over a kid on the way out. But hopefully they just give him someone fun and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah. As, this commenter also, he added an LOL for no reason on his comment, but he said that Dan Hardy probably won't happen because of Hardy's relationship now with the UFC, unfortunately. No, I think There's some names out there for sure.
Something like that is fine with me.
Nobody in the top 25. It's just
no.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Cool. This is interesting.
Cowboy told Megan Olivi yesterday that all of my energy and power is on Diego Sanchez. Did he really give a you know what about Alex Morano?
Did he underestimate Mr. Morono?
I don't know how much he underestimated, or the fact that he just got hit with the perfect punch. Like, he might have trained. You can't train to eat that punch. Punch you don't see just right across the temple. Maybe Cowboy eats that 5-6 years ago, but I think we'd be doing a disservice to Alex if we didn't just say he just maybe just a better fighter in 2021.
I think when this fight was originally booked of Cowboy and Diego, I think we all were thinking that Cowboy is going to roll through Diego. Is that what we were thinking?
I think so.
Yeah. Man, but the Cowboy showed up tonight. I don't know who actually wins that fight against Diego, to be honest. We'll never know, though. We'll never know. I just think, Cowboy... I think Cowboy was ready for Morono, but he just doesn't have the durability that it takes to fight at this level anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just amazing how he knows that he sucks in the first round. Like, he'll say it in every interview, I know I suck in the first round. And it's just like, it's so fascinating that he can't, like, get over that.
That mental hurdle.
You know what I mean? It's just such a fascinating thing to watch. Like, I know what I suck at, but I can't, for some reason, I just can't fix it. Like, just an incredible conversation with the psyche and how that all works out, especially when you're a fighter. People are crazy. Respect.
No comment about the main event.
Good main event. People always hate for no reason. Michelle Waterson is never in a boring fight.
Yeah.
So she's, you could always throw her in there against pretty much anybody. It's fun.
I'm pretty sure Marina hasn't been either. Carla Esparza can make you fight a boring fight.
That's what I was about to say. Both of Carla was in both of their worst. Carla was the opponent for both of their worst fights in the UFC.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
And that's not a knock on them. Carla's what happened.
I thought Carla lost both those fights too, but they were both competitive fights regardless.
I thought she beat Michelle, but I thought Marina won.
Yeah.
But they were both close.
Yeah. Oh, man. Imagine if Carla somehow becomes a strawweight champ again. That'd be amazing.
I love it.
That'd be amazing. We didn't really talk about this too much at all, actually.
Thoughts on Maurice Greene versus Marcos Ruggiero de Lima. That Herb Dean interaction when we came back was like WTF.
I will say, doing the Twitter reacts, a lot of fighters say, go Herb Dean. A lot of fighters are like, good on Herb Dean for like getting this quote unquote under control, because also that was like a commercial break played. So we don't know what was going on between rounds, but I can say a lot of fighters said, give Herb Dean the performance bonus for that one.
And God bless the whoever works in the ESPN truck who's supposed to press the little bleep button to take out the curse words, because he was taking a nap on that part. Because I heard, hey, motherfucker, real loud on my TV. I was like, whoa, on the replay, too. I was like, all right, here we go. I got cage fight and bad words. Woo. Oh, that was a horrible fight, though. That was the worst fight of the night.
Anyways, picked Maurice Greene to win. I picked him to get a third round submission.
Me too. Yeah, me too. I thought Maurice was gonna win too. But
Marcos Ruggiero de Lima is gonna try to take Maurice Greene's head off in the first round, and then he's gonna get so tired that Maurice Greene's gonna like fall into some kind of submission like late in the fight.
Like the Jean Valente fight, remember? Jean Valente just kind of passed out on him, and Maurice just like, I'll just smother you in my chest and you'll just quit.
Yeah.
I talked to Greg Jackson about that that submission, and Greg was like, people were crapping on Maurice for that. I was like, was that a real submission? He's like, I mean, it's a submission. I was like, all right.
Yeah. I remember Maurice being on What the Heck after that, and he was like, yeah. He goes, I submitted him because I put my smelly armpit in his nose.
Yeah,
he had to submit.
He had to submit. I mean, you're not gonna see Gordon Ryan doing that submission, or you know, Craig Jones, but you know, it's a submission technically.
That's right.
This one's for you, Mike.
Did Scott Coker say why they parted ways with Mandy Baum? Did the UFC sign her? So she did sign with the UFC. I don't know if she's got a fight booked, but she's posted that she signed with the UFC. So I think it was just, I was going to ask him about it, but then she signed with the UFC like literally the next day. So I didn't want to make like a big deal out of it. So there you go.
Yeah.
But no, he didn't say why. And I don't know if he would even know the answer to that question, because he's got like a team around him that kind of makes those decisions. They have like a little committee. So something tells me he probably has no idea why she was released, but I mean, at that point, why not just let her go? She got a chance with the UFC. They probably just let her go, and UFC swiped her right up, which is a smart move on their part.
Cool.
The UFC Bellator to Bellator. I dig it.
That's actually kind of interesting.
Watterson, a fighter you never get mad when she wants to grapple.
Oh, sorry, I kind of misread this. I think this is I thought this was more of like, oh, Michelle should grapple more, but now that I'm looking at these emojis.
No, it's just a creep. He's just being a creep.
Michelle is a very good grappler. She's actually a much dangerous grappler than she is a striker, and I thought that was her path to victory tonight, but she can only get Rodriguez down for one round, and weird emojis. Yeah, whatever you said. All right, not too many more questions.
JJ Moreno would be fire. It's a great fight. 150. The men's bantamweight division and the women's strawweight division. Can't go wrong.
I could also see if Angela Hill, depending on how quickly Angela Hill and Amanda Ribas gets rebooked, if Angela Hill wins, Marina and Angela Hill, just because that'll be a fun match. Marina would probably go. That'd be kind of a backwards a bit in the rankings, but
that'd be a big step back.
But Angela Hill, we know that she could easily be ranked up there too if two judges would have gave her the, you know, the Claudia decision. I mean, that's the only fight she lost, those really close decisions. So and they would both have common opponents if Angela Hill beats up Hibas. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's a good. I mean, I was looking forward, really looking forward to that fight.
Yeah, if she doesn't get the JJ fight or the Dern fight, something like that, I could see Angela Hill. But dude, Marina's just one of those fighters. She's just exciting. I just want to see her fight. It's strawweight. You can't mess it up. It's like booking bantamweights. You can't really mess up.
What else we got? I thought the main event would win fight of the night. Thoughts? There's no way you can't give Gillespie and Fajeda that. Fight of the night. That fight was ridiculous.
I'm glad the UFC recognized like high level boxing.
In the Gillespie fight.
Like that first round was just scramble after scramble after scramble.
Yeah, that's why
I was really happy that the UFC gave him that.
Yeah, because they almost never give fight of the nights for grapple heavy fights, and that was almost all grappling, and it was amazing scrambles. Awesome scrambles. Oh, one thing that I got to compliment the UFC on. One thing they do great in the live production is every once in a while in the scrambles, they go to the overhead shot. Like, and it's directly overhead. It's not like a camera. Yeah. It's just like directly overhead. And it's just, and seeing those scrambles from that angle, it's just like, I liked it a lot. And so, like, the live event coverage, like when they're actually punching each other, UFC production crew does an amazing job. I love it. Let me see if you got anything else.
Hey, listen, we got quite the week ahead of us too.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Scott. You're welcome.
Hey, I just want to say thank you to everyone watching and stuff. I know we've had a lot of MMA, a lot of fan Q&As, a lot of pre-shows, post-shows, all that stuff. And thank you for just watching. I don't say that enough to our listeners. I forget.
Yes.
Apology accepted.
I appreciate it. My voice is annoying. I know. I'm sorry. All right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play the go home.
Yeah. Play me out. I'm admittedly tired. It has been a long week. It has been a super long day. I drove close to 600 miles today.
Whoa. Wow.
Wow.
Thank you for showing up then.
Yeah. Drove from Mohegan to Haverhill, Massachusetts. Got to visit Rob Font and Calvin Kattar and all those crazies. So look for some cool stuff over the next couple of weeks. Did an interview with Kattar, shot some good footage of Rob Font training, getting ready for the Cody Garbrandt fight on May 22nd. So we're going to do some cool stuff with that. And then I drove back home to see the fam. So, but here we are. Here we are. Another post-fight show in the books. Jose Youngs. Enjoy some R&R, my friends, before you hop on that airplane, and then it's your turn to get right back on the road. How excited are you to head to the Lone Star State?
I am very excited for another fight week with fans again. I know the fans kind of creep people out, especially in the during the pandemic, just being surrounded by fans. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the interactions with fans, as long as they were wearing masks and not rushing up on me. But I'm looking forward to it. Media day is very big. I think everyone outside of the top two fights is going to be a media day. So A-side TBD, depending on when that ends. So we might not have A-side next Wednesday. And then, of course, we have another press conference. Who knows what Tony Ferguson is going to say on Thursday. No Nate Diaz, unfortunately. But it is fortunate, because he's going to be in Arizona. And the amount of DMs I've gotten asking about tickets for that have not stopped. So yes, very much looking forward to it.
There you go. And we will have you covered. Thanks.
Did you see the only card next week? I know. There's no Bellator next week.
There's no Bellator. No. I don't believe there's Bellator.
All UFC next
Bellator's,
week.
Bellator's back in the 21st with Chris Cyborg versus Leslie Smith.
Cool.
So there you go.
Leslie Smith.
Yes. Well, until then, we are out of here. For Jose, Casey, I am Mike Heck. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.